In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. It's wonderful to have the family of Althea and Orly today here to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. We had a big party here last night, and we're going to continue that today. So good to see you. And lovely to see Ola here, all the way from Nigeria. We're blessed you've come to see us. So welcome today. Lost. Lost. They lost everything. She's a lost soul. He's losing his mind. He's lost without her. She lost her home. She lost her marriage. She lost her family. A lost generation. He's losing his health. Paradise lost. It's a powerful word. If you struggle with the things that have been in the news this week, the assassination in the United States, the resignation of Peter Mandelson, the issues that we see in government, the to-in and fro-in, the things that we see in our world that daily cause us anxiety, new drones flying across Poland, what does that mean? If you struggle with all these things, it's because we are lost. You see, this story is much more powerful than we realize. It goes right to the very heart in our gospel of the human condition. The reason that you struggle so much, the reason that you lose sleep at night, the reason that you can't get your life together is because you are lost. And you need to be found. The reason you're distracted today and you struggle even to listen to Lyndon the Vicar yet again, it's because we are all lost. The story goes right to the very heart of the human condition. I wonder today what speaks to your loss most. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Some here, the loss of a child. Goes deep. For me, for a long time, the loss of a lucrative career when my life fell apart. It took me ages, years to actually get life together, and certainly the loss of my dear dad. You see, loss is a deep bereavement that we all struggle with. The gap. And for many of us here, the loss that we've encountered in our life, particularly of loved ones, many of us have never really gained track again. And we've really struggled to get our life together. It's really damaged us. We've remained broken. And we carry with us daily. The story goes deep. In the gospel, we are all lost. Lost sheep. And we need to be found. There's something wonderful about the reference. Last week it was multitudes that was following Jesus, we read. Today it's tax collectors. Tax collectors were agents of Roman oppression. Sinners were like you and I, who failed to do what we were called to do and live up to what we wanted. And somehow they had this huge attraction to Jesus. They wanted to be with him. They were drawn to him like a magnet, because somehow maybe he was gonna deal with their lostness. And it's wonderful because it speaks of the mercy of God. The goodness of God, the grace of God, because he reaches out to people. He has fellowship and meals, and he accepts the sinner. That's what it meant to eat with people. Fellowship at the very deepest level. He shares life with them because he accepts them. The whole story of eating together is a story of grace and of welcome. He knows that they need him. He knows that they are lost. This passage speaks to the very heart of our condition, of your condition. We're all lost. The reason that the church is here as a symbol of hope and of rescue and of salvation is because this community is lost. Our Prime Minister is lost. Donald Trump is lost. All those who are affected by abuse that we hear in the news due to Epstein, they're lost. Oh, this is so deep. It goes right to who we really are. We are lost and we need to be rescued. Paul says in the epistle reading, Christ came into the world to save us. So here's the message today. In your lostness, will you allow God to find you before it's too late? In your lostness, will you allow God to find you? By the way, you can come to church. You can be a parish priest like me, dressed up in all this gear, look wonderfully respectable with the dog collar, and yet I can still not allow God to find me. We live lives that are busy, distracted, frenetic. We go through the months, the days and the years, and yet we can never allow the living God, who speaks you into existence right now, to really find us. And that can be true of priests and servers and people who come to church for years and years and years. We could never really allow God to find me. And we can have all sorts of pretense of religiosity and programs, but never really connected with the living God, allowed him to find us. We can have the outward form of wonderful Church of England respectability, and yet we can go to the end of our days never really allowing God to find us, to be still and know that who he is, to allow us to hear him call our voice and say, come home, come home, come home. How do you do that? You have to stop. You have to be still. You have to be present and dial down and let God to find you. You know, sometimes people never ever find it until the very end of their life, and I go to see them in hospital, and then they do a confession to me and they say all sorts of things, open up their heart, and I finally give them the last rites, the sacrament. And it's only at that point that they suddenly hear from God and they allow him to find them. And a huge amount of their life has been busy, successful, flourishing, maybe difficult, a struggle, but they've never really connected with the living God and allowed him to find them. Can't sleep at night. I'm worried about the state of the world. I don't know what next. You might have never heard of Charlie, who was assassinated this last week. He was a Christian. You might not have liked some of his views, but he was a deeply committed Christian. So, brothers and sisters, whatever your success or failures today, however smart you are and the university you went to or the job that you do or the house that you live in and the car that you drove here, and the success of who we are and what we're about or our failure and whatever, before it's too late, if you allow God to really find you, he wants to call you home. He wants to build a relationship with you. He wants to know your heart. Or will you just continue like you have, with a constant distraction? You know what I mean? The distraction. It speaks deeply to me because, you see, I can stand here with all the pretense of religion, and you think that I've got it. And it comes most powerfully to me because I can use words and speak here. But it goes deep into my heart, and I say to myself, have I allowed God to find me? The story of the Judeo-Christian story is a God who comes in search of us. Chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, there was a fracture in humanity where something went deeply wrong at the core of our existence. And suddenly the story goes that Adam and Eve were hiding in the garden and God came looking for them. And the whole story ever since then is that here is God looking in search of us. He wants to find us, to put us back together and to deal with our brokenness. Lost in Parliament, lost in our community, lost in our schools, lost in our healthcare, lost in our legal system, we need to be found. We need to be put together. Want to rejoice? Rejoice when you allow him to find you. Allow him to find you. And don't let anything get in the way of that, because it's why you were made. He wants to find you. Keith will lead us in our prayers. Please sit or kneel as we pray.
You will know that Jesus refers to sheep in a number of his parables, particularly because of their tendency to get lost and to do stupid things. The parables had meaning, particularly at a time when everybody knew what sheep were like because they saw them every day. But when did you last see a sheep? Perhaps looking back in your childhood, you were told about sheep and their care in a very well-known poem about a young lady called Bo Peep. Like Jesus' parable, it tells a little story about lost sheep. So we're going to use this poem this morning to contrast the story of Bo Peep with Jesus' care for us when we are lost. Just as a reminder of the poem, if you need one. Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone, and they'll come home dragging their tails behind them. We're going to use as a little phrase between each section of the prayers. When I say Jesus, our good shepherd, we will all say together, teach us to follow you. Let's just try that. Jesus, our good shepherd, teach us to follow you. Lord Jesus, we confess that so often we behave just like lost sheep. We're easily led astray. We don't listen properly to your instructions. We keep with the flock even when it goes to places that are not right for us. We get lost so easily because of the temptations of places that we think will satisfy us. Bo Peep just doesn't know where to find her sheep. But Lord Jesus, in our hearts, we know that you know where to find us. Not just in this church. If we open ourselves to you, we know that you will be present in our homes, in our workplace, in our recreation. And not just in the good times. We know that you will be present when our lives are going wrong, when temptations have led us astray, when sickness is changing our lives, when relationships are just not right, when we feel frightened and isolated. Lord Jesus, enter into those places and give us a sense of your presence throughout our lives. Jesus, our good shepherd, teach us to follow you. In the poem, Bo Peep is advised to leave her sheep alone. What kind of a shepherd is that? Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us alone, that you come searching for us and searching for us by name. You search for us in our worship, through our prayers, through our contact with other Christians. You seek us out through the glory of creation. You even seek us out when illness and failure confront us. But most of all, you demonstrate your love for us in dying on the cross and saving us from our sins and death. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to see when and how you are searching for us. Jesus, our good shepherd, teach us to follow you. Bo Peep is advised in the poem that her sheep will apparently come home, but dragging their tails behind them. When this poem first appeared in literature in the early 18th century, the reference to the sheep's tails was an indication that they had all come to a rather sticky end. Lord Jesus, unlike Bo Peep's sheep, we are able to celebrate our coming home to you. Later in many services, we pray, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your love and brought us home. Jesus, our good shepherd, teach us to follow you. Of course, loss can be a trivial event, but it can also bring life-changing disaster and suffering. So we remember the people of Gaza who have lost everything: security, their homes, access to proper food, family members. Father God, we pray for a peaceful end to the conflict in Gaza. We pray for those who have lost the possibility of a safe existence because of wars and terrorism. We pray especially for the people of the Ukraine, that the Russian bombardment will cease and a peaceful settlement agreed. We bring to you those who have lost the health that they hitherto had taken for granted. Bless them, console them, heal them. We bring to you especially this morning Earl Adams, David Elaine, Ralph Bedford, Mark Gardiner, Malcolm George, Emily Rockingham, Pam Story, Martin Vowles, and Angela Zadurian. Jesus, our good shepherd, teach us to follow you. We pray for those who have lost someone they love, and they are bringing them to mind on this week of their anniversary. We give thanks for the lives of George and Ethel Udall. We pray for the family and friends of Charlie Kirk, shot dead at a political rally on Wednesday. Jesus, our good shepherd, teach us to follow you. We thank you, Lord, for never losing hope for us. When we are lost, you are there on the lookout for us, bringing us back to you. May we open our hearts to you. Your word tells us of the joy in heaven that awaits us. May this joy flow into our lives each day and be faithfully reflected into the world around us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.